asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances.
So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com. Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing PPP forgiveness, where the jobs are, and bacon masks.
And Joel, when we say bacon masks, we're not talking about your new beauty routine where, where you lay pieces of meat on your face when you go to bed at night.
Well, I mean, but then I wake up and it's all gone in the morning. I ate it during my sleep.
And you have wonderful dreams while we're at it.
Exactly.
No, that is a story we will talk about in the second half. But real quick, man, earlier this week was we had a two-day Prime, Amazon Prime event. Did you get all excited about it? Did you buy a bunch of stuff?
You know, I didn't actually. I bought nothing.
I'm surprised, actually. I feel like you kind of jump on the sales.
Yeah, I do like a good sale from time to time. And other retailers got in on the mix too. Target was offering a whole lot of deals. I was on the lookout for a good priced Android cell phone. Like,
okay.
Preferably the Pixel 4a is what I was hoping for, but I didn't see any discounts. And so I don't know, man, the way it's going, I might not get a new phone until it's like the Pixel 29a or something like that.
You and I are both holding out on getting new cell phones. Mine, I feel like it's limping along, but I will cross that finish line. It will continue to work at some point.
Same here. And there was just nothing else. It was on sale where I was like, oh, I need that or I want that. And there's just not much I need.
Yeah, I barely was keeping an eye on it. I feel like a lot of times with big sales like this or these big marketing efforts, I don't know if it's because of my personality or if other people feel this way too, but I tend to do the opposite of what I'm supposed to do. I'm just kind of hard-headed. And so like I see that and I think, oh, that's just overblown. Like there's not going to be any real deals out there. But I do think there's some truth there, right? Like if you're looking for a deal, you're looking for sales, and they show you how much it's marked down and you think, oh, this is a pretty good opportunity. For me, I saw like this alarm clock thing. Like one of the things that the algorithms fed me was this daylight alarm clock. And basically, instead of an alarm going off, I think it just kind of gets brighter
slowly
and brighter.
It's like the sun rising in your
literally
room.
Literally, it's round and it looks like the sun rising. And I thought, ooh, I want that. That was something that I considered getting. But did I need that? Was I looking for that? No. But I kind of caught myself going down that direction. And so if you're looking for something specifically, if you know that you want to buy something, yeah, like you said, it's good to keep an eye out for a deal. You knew that you're looking for a cell phone. That's great. Otherwise, I'm afraid by exposing yourself to all these different deals, you're not necessarily going to fall into the trap of buying something. Yeah, you're going to fall into the trap of being sold something.
Like,
you know,
wanting more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're going to get you with a deal, and this isn't something that you needed before. It's not something you necessarily need now. But we do get so excited about, you know, Prime Day in particular.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And yeah, I think it is good for us to kind of try to curb the influence of the sale mentality and constantly having things thrown in our face that we don't need. It's just become so easy to add something to your cart or one click to buy it.
Lightning deal.
Lightning deals, like all that stuff, man. It's all prime to get us to spend more than we want to on stuff that we don't really even care about. So,
exactly.
Yeah, avoid it when you can. And Matt, let's get on to our Friday flight. A sampling of stories that we found interesting this week. And speaking of Amazon, which originally the way they got started was selling books online, right?
Originally an online bookstore, Amazon.
Yeah. Now they sell everything.
Literally everything.
If you're looking for a great way to support your local bookstore right now, though, instead of getting your books from a giant retailer, and in particular, if you don't want to shop in person, right? Because a lot of people don't want to go into a retail location. Check out a website called bookshop.org. The way it works, if you're a local bookstore that doesn't do e-commerce, if you're not able to order a specific book from your bookstore for whatever reason, you can order that book via their shop on Bookshop's website. Then your local bookstore doesn't have to worry about inventory and shipping, and they get 30% of the cover price, which is evidently the entire profit margin on the books. So it's really cool, a website with a really great mission. It's all about helping these indie bookstores be able to sell books and make revenue with an awesome online presence.
Yeah, our local bookshop in EAV, or East Atlanta Village, is Bookish. They're even on there, man, which is pretty cool. You know, we have seen some folks criticize Bookshop, though, just as, you know, being another online competitor, right? As not being all that different from Amazon itself. But again, their mission is to see the success of indie bookstores. And to kind of back that up, they also give 10% of all sales to local bookshops every 6 months. It's almost, they kind of pay that out almost like a dividend. And so regardless if you purchase that book through your local bookshop's page on Bookshop, all the book sales across the site, 10% of that gets paid out. And that's just, yeah, that's just awesome. Like, that's not something that Amazon would do. You
right.
know? And so their mission is clear. You know, they are looking to support these small businesses. But at the same time, you get the conveniences of being able to shop online and essentially to find any book that you're looking for. So we actually even set up our own page up there on bookshop.org, and we're going to start listing out all the books of the authors who we have on our show, you know, when we have interviews. And so in case you're ever wanting to know, oh, what was that book, or what are some books that we've talked about on the show in the past, you'll be able to go there. We'll make sure to link to that page on our show notes.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Matt, let's talk about PPP loan forgiveness, right? If you're a small business owner who's listening to the show and you received a PPP loan back in the spring and you're not quite sure how to apply forgiveness, well, you're not alone. There's been a lot of confusion surrounding that. And the good news is that it did just get easier to apply for forgiveness for that loan. It took way too long to get guidance from the Treasury Department on this, but now there is some good news. If you received a loan of $50,000 or less, you're now allowed to self-certify that you used the money appropriately. Basically, you can use the new form, 3508S, for your application, or you can ask your lender to update your info in the portal. But a lot of people were worried about the intense amount of paperwork that it would require to get forgiveness for these loans. And it looks like, at least for people that took out smaller loans, it's actually going to be pretty simple in order to get that loan forgiven.
Yeah, I actually looked at the form. It's a one-pager, and literally all you have to do is just initial and sign.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, it's great. And there's good reason for them rolling this out, right? The SBA, they have received 96,000 forgiveness applications to date, and they have reviewed none of them. The SBA is...
slackers.
They said that they're going to start reviewing these applications shortly. You know what that means. It means they're like, oh, we're never going to get to this.
Right, yes.
And so this move will give the SBA a smaller burden when it comes to overseeing forgiveness applications. And it makes it easier for a decent number of small business owners to have their PPP loan forgiven.
I will say, when I say shortly, usually in regards to chores, it means...
I'll do it soon.
Probably never.
Yeah.
Maybe once everyone's asleep. I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that is good news for small business owners that they have an easier path to forgiveness if they had a smaller PPP loan that they took out. All right, Matt, on to the next story. And this one involves something that's been, I feel like, happening to me personally. I wonder if other people are experiencing this. I've gotten a lot of random Cash App requests for money recently. I use the Cash App oftentimes just to transfer friends' money back and forth for splitting a meal, or a tenant can pay rent that way. But I'm getting like random people saying, give me $200 or $15 or whatever it is. So I decline and block these every time, but it's getting old. Like, have you had that happen to you?
I have actually done that to you one time. I created a bunch of fake accounts because I know you got those deep pockets.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's why it's happening. Okay.
No, I actually literally have never had that happen to me. It's kind of interesting that you do. But I, that being said, I know that your handle is a little more universal.
A little more generic.
Yeah. And so I guess the scammers are kind of like thinking through different names and ways to easily change that name and to kind of move on to the next person.
That's
yeah,
a good
you
point.
Kind of show up on that list.
That's probably why I'm getting them. Right. But I, you know, it's interesting. There was an article in the New York Times and it made it sound like what's happening to me, these like fake requests for money from people that I don't even know, is part of a bigger problem with these payment platforms like Venmo and Cash App. A couple of giant security firms mentioned in that New York Times article, they stated that fraud rates on these apps are like 3 to 4 times higher than on payment methods like debit and credit cards. So for our listeners out there, it's just really important to be careful using these apps and only pay people that you know with them. And Matt, I was actually heartened the other day. I used Venmo to pay somebody that I've never paid before. And Venmo asked me to input the last 4 digits of that person's phone number, basically saying like, are you in person paying this person that you've never paid before?
You're not friends. You don't have any friends in common.
If not, be careful. Yeah. Like, and so, yeah, that I think these apps are starting to ramp up their security precautions. And that's good to see. I would also say there are other ways to currently increase precautions on your end. So you can set up a PIN or a fingerprint reader on the Cash App. Put as many precautions in place as you can. And hopefully these companies, right, like Venmo, Cash App, will do the same thing and kind of start cracking down on the fraud that's occurring on their platforms.
By the way, was that Venmo payment that you're going to send out, was that a class parent?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, it wasn't? No. Okay. We did that recently to one of our daughters, class parent. They were requesting money to get funds together for gifts for the teacher. They normally do like at Christmas, at their birthday, and then maybe like a year-end present, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Which it makes me wonder, like, how do you feel about that? Because this isn't a class parent that I know. In particular, this year, we haven't had a chance to meet hardly anybody, parents. And it's just like, send a bunch of money to this person. And you kind of have to just trust and kind of go along with it.
Yeah.
But I do wonder in like the back of my mind, there's like just a tiny shred of doubt where I'm just like, ooh, like who's overseeing this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'll agree. It's a little weird. But yeah, I think that's what you have to do is trust that
yeah,
that person,
exactly.
The class parent is handling things well. I will say my, the Venmo money I was sending.
Sure. Yeah. What was yours for?
It was to a neighbor who, their restaurant, they got out of the restaurant business in May, like a lot of other, you know, restaurateurs. It's been a hard time. And they are cooking meals out of their kitchen for neighbors like multiple times a week.
Nice. Meals on Mercer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's just cool like to be
able
to... We
did the same thing. I didn't know y'all did that.
Yeah, to buy food from them and support him and their family. Yeah, so just kind of a cool thing to do.
Yeah, that's super cool, man. There's another local Indian restaurant as well, and I guess their doors have been closed as well. The guy that owns it, he lives less than a mile from our house, and so Kate had signed up for like this a whole meal package, and of course she paid via Venmo or Cash App, and just kind of drove by. He had a sweet little table set up, like, and he had on like his official shirt, and so there was like zero question as to how legit this thing was. Like, you got to pull up, he had the sealed box for you, and you just told him the order number and just handed it over. Super smooth transaction, man.
Nice.
I was really impressed with the ingenuity that restaurateurs are going through these days.
Yeah, again, these apps, they provide a lot of convenience. They're really cool. Like, I use them, but I just want to see them become safer for people to use.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, while there's more fraud happening on Venmo and Cash App, scammers phishing for your personal information in order to get your money, like, that isn't anything new. But we are seeing it crop up in different apps that we are now using, right? It's been happening with investors, Robinhood accounts that are getting cleaned out. And in most of these cases, it's not because of some security breach. It's not the app or the website's fault. A lot of times, the responsibility lies within the user, right? And so, like, how do you avoid getting scammed? Well, don't give personal information to anyone reaching out to you directly, right? If you think it's a legitimate request, well, we would recommend for you to go directly to the site or directly to the app and then update any, you know, needed information that way if it seems that they don't have updated information. Just definitely don't reply to a text or an email asking for that sensitive information, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm at the point now to where even if I receive an email from an establishment, from a bank or somebody who I do business with, even when I go up and click the email address and it looks kind of legit, sometimes they've got these weird subdomains on there and I'm like, I don't know, that looks a little bit fishy. I will still just go into my browser and type it in myself and log in that way and then go to my account or go to my profile and then look for the notification to make sure that things are taken care of that way.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. I think when you click on anything in an email, even if it looks like it's a legitimate email address, you are putting yourself at risk, yeah. And you're putting your money at risk. And so better to be safe than sorry. Better to go directly to the website itself and update anything that needs to be updated there, and not clicking on a link, right? So yeah, definitely something to watch out for if you use those apps, and just in general, right? With all the platforms that we have to log into consistently. Matt, there was another interesting story this week. It turns out a federal judge in Illinois ruled last week that a potential class action lawsuit against the National Association of Realtors and four major brokerage companies could proceed. The lawsuit actually, it calls into question the compensation model for realtors and the anti-competitive practices taken to achieve that compensation.
Yeah.
This means that the pay model for real estate agents could be upended at some point in the future. And Matt, you and I, we're fans of real estate agents. Like, we've talked about how much value they can bring to the home buying process,
sure.
Right? But I guess the question is, are they worth a total of 6% of the sale price of a home?
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
It is. And on top of that, the Consumer Federation of America found in a report last year that most people, they just don't understand the compensation model and the cost that they're going to incur when working with an agent. The costs are a little more hidden. And I think if they were a little more upfront and we were paying people directly out of pocket, paying an agent directly out of pocket, and the price tag was in the, you know, $5,000-$10,000 price range, we might balk a little bit more. But because it's buried as a percentage at the closing table, it's something that most people don't even understand. They don't even know how much money their agent is getting paid. And it sounds like this compensation model, well, there's a chance that it's not going to hang around for forever.
Yeah, and I'm not going to argue that realtors shouldn't exist, right? But I think things are changing a little bit, right? I mean, like, showings look a lot different these days. Like, there are a lot fewer in-person showings. Gone are the days where you're riding around with your real estate agent on a Saturday morning and they're taking you to 10 properties. You know, like, That's just not how it works anymore. And then on top of that, too, just the information that is available to us. Like, it used to be where you didn't know what houses were listed, but with sites like Redfin, with sites like Zillow, you can easily see the different properties that are listed out there, and it kind of raises the question, like, what am I actually paying for when it comes to a realtor, right?
And you're still paying for a lot, let's be honest. Like, you are getting a whole lot of service. It's just that they have been able to slim down some of the things that they offer to you. It is less physical, right, of having to be with you all day on a Saturday. And yeah, I think the compensation model is ripe for changing, and
maybe
it's
some updating a little bit.
Already starting to happen, right?
Yeah. So, you know, let's quickly talk about a couple of ways that you can potentially lower those important and expensive costs of buying and selling a home, right? I just mentioned Redfin, but they are an awesome online brokerage platform that charges a 1.5% listing fee to sellers, and they even will lower the fee to 1% if the seller also buys a home on Redfin within a year. And you can also go the FSBO route, right, for sale by owner. Both of these routes come with trade-offs, though, especially, you know, trying to list a home by yourself, but it could be worth it considering the many thousands of dollars that you could save. And dude, you could even reach out to, you know, some different agents and try to negotiate their price, you know, instead of a percentage of the total sale. Maybe see if they would be willing to help you purchase a home for maybe a flat fee instead. I think a lot of agents are going to balk at that. They're going to dismiss that proposal. But I think a lot of others might be a little more willing given the changing landscape, you know, given how things are a lot different than they used to be.
Yeah, Matt, I've got a friend, and she was recently selling a rental home that she owns up in Wisconsin, and the tenants that live there were going to buy the place. And because, like, so much of the deal was essentially already done, there wasn't really a need for a realtor to come in, especially with the amount of compensation they were going to receive. It was going to be prohibitive, right? And so she reached out to an agent and specifically negotiated a flat dollar amount to help with the transaction, and it worked.
Wow.
I think especially if you've done some of the work that an agent would traditionally have to do, it does help your case to ask for a lower payment amount. So yeah, that's worth considering, but it's interesting, and we'll keep our eyes on that case because it does impact everyone who's buying or selling a home at any point in time. All right, Matt, we got more to get to, including where the jobs are at right now and bacon masks. We'll get to those right after this break. Kachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Kachava really earns their 52,000-plus five-star reviews.
It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in 5 delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to Cachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/howtomoney.
When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. That's why you listen to this podcast. And if you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table.
You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade, lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach every single summer. We've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry. Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
All right, we're back from the break. Matt. Now it's time to talk about bacon masks. I know when I mentioned I wanted to talk about this today,
like, you were what are you talking about, man?
Really? Are you sure? I don't know.
I'm going to have to trust you.
Okay. So I just thought it was interesting. One, this is a freebie. You can get a free mask, and people are all about, you know, we got to wear masks right now. So a free backup mask is a great thing to have. Well, now through October 28th, you can go to breathablebacon.com, and you can request one of these free masks. There are 10,000 available. And yes, they smell like bacon. I know for some
people.
Are
they made with bacon?
No, actual bacon was harmed in the making of these masks. I know for some people that sounds like pretty awesome. They're like, oh, cool, a mask that smells like bacon. And probably other people are throwing up in their mouth a little bit right now as I say that. But I just thought it was unique. It was kind of funny. So this is a promotion put on by Hormel. And the coolest part of this is that for every mask request that's sent in through that website, Hormel is going to donate one meal to Feeding America. So you kind of got to love like what's behind it. If you go to that website, it's just kind of goofy and over the top. But it's for a good cause. So I thought it was worth bringing up.
Yeah, here on the site it says, don't just eat bacon, inhale it. Which, yeah, like that's just gross, man. Like I'm guessing that these things smell like bacon bits, which as a kid I was all about, man. I would put bacon bits on everything that my parents would allow me to, or sometimes even not allow me to.
Too classy for that now?
Now, dude, that just totally grosses me out. Which, by the way, if we're talking about bacon, I'm thinking about Aldi. Have you ever had the Appleton Farms bacon from Aldi?
I have. It's been a while, but
really good quality stuff. I guess I just don't want folks thinking that we're like bacon snobs here. You know, specifically mentioning a brand name. No, man, the Aldi bacon, that's where it's at.
I'm all for private label bacon, dude.
All right. Well, you and I, we saw that Delta, they lost $5 billion in Q3 this year. And it looks like
that's a lot of money for a local Atlanta company.
Seriously. And on top of that, it looks like there's going to be a pilot furlough coming up here next month. Clearly, the airlines are having a rough time. But one of the areas where they are doing well is within their frequent flyer miles programs. United Airlines, they estimate that the value of their miles program is $21 billion, which is about 2 times what United is valued at on the stock market, dude. That is insane. This one program looks to be worth double what the entire actual company is.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So too many airline card holders are carrying balances and not taking advantage of benefits. That's why these programs are so profitable, and that's a problem.
Yeah, so if this is you, if you do have a lot of frequent flyer miles that you're just hanging on to and you're not sure what to do with them, well, it's time to start kind of paying attention to what's happening with the frequent flyer mile programs from these airlines. In particular, it's important to check the expiration date on some of these miles. Some airlines have just proactively extended the expiration date, which is great, especially with so many people not flying right now. But others haven't done that, right? So you might need to make a purchase in order to extend that expiration deadline, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the purchase of a plane ticket or travel, right? You could potentially give miles to a friend. If you got a friend who's looking to book travel and you're overflowing with unusable miles, book their ticket with some of the extra ones that you've got. There are also other ways to use those miles. Oftentimes, they offer like a magazine subscription or something like that. And sometimes just that one purchase can push back the expiration date a whole nother year. And so, yeah, if you feel uncomfortable booking travel, it might make sense to use them in some way, form, or fashion to extend that deadline so that you're not losing a bunch of miles that are otherwise still going to be good at some point for you in the future.
Yeah, and if you aren't doing a whole lot of travel these days, which a lot of us aren't, another consideration is to switch from, you know, one of these co-branded airline miles cards to one that just offers cash back. For a lot of folks these days, you know, the simpler cash back option is likely going to be better. I've mentioned, you know, before how much I like the Blue Cash Preferred card. You know, they give 6% cash back on all grocery stores and streaming subscriptions as well, 3% cash back on gas. And on top of that, man, I just saw they've got a new promotion where they are waiving their annual fee, which is $95. So typically that's that's what kept me from getting this card for years, because I was just like, I don't want to deal with an annual fee. But it took, you know, 30 seconds for me to kind of calculate and realize that I would more than, you know, receive the benefit from that card by paying that annual fee. Well, right now, up until December 10th, they're going to waive that $95 annual fee for an entire year. And so if you've considered getting that card because you hear me talk about it so often because I love it, then now is definitely the time for you to do that.
Nice. Yeah, it's on our list of best credit cards for how people spend. People can find that article on our website. We'll also put it in the show notes. But yeah, it's one of those cards that, in particular, if you have a family and you spend a decent amount of groceries, and we're all spending more on groceries these days, it gives more cash back at the grocery store than any other card out there. And no annual fee just makes it like a slam dunk for a lot of people. All right, Matt, let's talk more about the travel industry. It's not the best place to be looking for work these days, right? I mean, sadly, there are just a lot of pilots, flight attendants, a lot of people who work for airlines and in other parts of the travel industry that are having a really, really hard time. And it's tough to see. But let's talk about where the jobs are at right now, right? The sectors that are doing really well while the economy is kind of still in a lull overall. Since refinances are booming right now, right, as the rates have just gone down precipitously, mortgage processors and loan underwriters are jobs that are in massive demand right now. By the way, no college degree is required typically for a lot of these jobs. So looking in particular to work for a company that's doing a whole lot of business in mortgages is a great place to turn for work. And Matt, one of our favorite companies, Fidelity, they're hiring an additional 4,000 workers, including customer service workers. And again, no college degree is necessary for a lot of those jobs. So I think it's just important for us to highlight that while there are a lot of sectors that are going through a really tough time, there are other great places to be looking. If you're unemployed or underemployed right now.
Cloud computing, that's another sector with lots of jobs available. And service jobs are starting to see more demand combined with higher pay as well. You'll of course need to weigh the potential safety concerns of that job before you apply. But you know, there are new incentives as well. One service industry recruiter in Illinois said that to try to entice people back, companies are offering better compensation, flexible hours, and signing bonuses as well. 6 months ago, the average local pay rate for these types of roles was $10.92 an hour. Now it's $14.80. So employers, they're seeing the need to raise that bar to increase the incentives, and we're seeing that reflected in pay as well.
Yeah, for sure. Matt, on the flip side of the job spectrum, some older workers, they're starting to get offered early retirement packages, essentially cash to walk away from their jobs. And for some older workers who've contemplated retirement and they're in a great financial situation, this can be pretty awesome, right? Extra money to leave early when that's where you're headed anyway. It feels like a win-win. But for lots of other people, it can be a really, really hard decision. If you decline, will your job even be there months down the road? You might find that a future send-off won't have the same buyout amount, right, at a later date. So there are all sorts of things to consider when you're presented with some sort of a severance package or a buyout package, whether you're close to retirement or not. And it's just something that more and more employees are having to think through in today's economic climate.
Yeah, and to compound the difficulty, you don't typically have much time to make a decision, right? It's typically around 45 days. Some severance offers can pay you for a full year or even more to leave your job early, but most offers aren't quite that generous. And so it's important to know that you can negotiate a severance or a buyout package. You won't always be successful, but you know, it's important to ask for things that can make a difference for your personal situation. Maybe an extra month or two on the job before you officially leave could be what sweetens the deal for you. Or maybe your employer subsidizing healthcare premiums for months. Those are the kinds of things that can make the difference between an average severance package versus just a really, really great offer. And those are the kind of questions that you need to be asking.
Yeah, you need to stand up for yourself and you need to make a counteroffer. And depending on how long you've been there, that'll help determine in all likelihood how big the severance offer is. But it's just important to note that even in like a super emotional time, it's important to make sure you're asking for the right things that are going to help keep you afloat until you get the next job or until you are actually ready to retire. So pushing back in some key ways whenever you get a severance offer in hand is just a really important thing to do. All right, and Matt, I had one more thing I wanted us to talk about today on the show. Yesterday in the Facebook group, listener Amanda posed this question to everybody. She said, you know you're a personal finance nerd when... And then she said, fill in the blank. So I want to know how you finish that sentence.
Do you feel like you have a good answer to this?
Well, I replied, I said, when you love talking about money so much that you start a podcast.
I was going to say, like, if you are podcasting about it, I feel like that definitely qualifies you as a personal finance nerd. I instinctually, I guess, look back to my history and you know, when it was that I got more into my personal finances. And as I did, that's when I started tracking every expense that I made, like literally tracking my expenses every single month to the cent. And I've done that ever since then. So I feel like if you're listening and that's something that you do, there's a good chance you're a personal finance nerd. You know, when you're so preoccupied with the numbers and wanting to make sure that every number has its place, I feel like you're officially a personal finance nerd.
So basically, instead of going back to look at your diary from 2006, you go back to look at your budget from 2006.
Well,
that's when you're a personal finance
what's
nerd.
What's amazing is that I really can go back and you can see what you're spending your money on. I look at those expenses and it really does tell me so much about my life back then.
Yeah.
And so to answer your question to a certain extent, yes.
Yeah.
You know, like you really can tell what was going on in your life, what you prioritized, what you were and weren't doing. Yeah, I think that's totally a sign of being a personal finance nerd.
It certainly is.
When you're focused on the numbers like that.
All right. Yeah, well, I thought that was a fun question. A lot of interesting comments in there. And so, yeah, for anybody who is not a member of the How to Money Facebook group, go check it out. A lot of cool people in there, a lot of great discussions, people helping each other, answering each other's questions, and just providing a lot of thoughtful insight when it comes to personal finances. All right, Matt, that's going to do it for this episode. For listeners who want the show notes for this episode, well, you can go to our website at howtomoney.com.
And if you enjoy our podcast, we would be incredibly thankful if you were to head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a solid review over there. And if you've done that, let a friend or family member know about the show. Without all of you wonderful listeners out there, we wouldn't even have a show, Joel. So thanks in advance for that.
Or we'd just be talking to each other.
Which we would do that as well.
maybe we would. I don't know.
All right, man. Well, that's going to be it for this episode. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out. We'll be right back.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.